Whatever he steers on his inside, the Greek word reveals that he was angry at the devil. He was angry. There was a sternness. And by the time he reached the tomb of Lazarus, he was literally scolding death. Lazarus, come forth! Hey, Lazarus, come forth. Kenneth Copeland did that once to a patient who was dying. He was lying in a hospital bed and he was dying. And now you got to have embryomyomai on your life. Without embryomyomai, don't go around doing it. He entered into this hospital and everybody had done their best. And this person was like going to go off. And he counseled with him, shared the word. And then as he was going out the hospital, the room, he suddenly turned around. Must be embryomyomai. Came right near this patient, stuck his finger at him and said, "Don't you dare die!" In a very stern way. And the patient didn't dare to die. That's Jehovah Nissi. John, the Gospel of John tells us how he operates. God, your banner is not something outside. It's something on your inside. You have to have the victory on the inside, where you know what the victory is. And then you could come forth and declare it, and it's done. I tell you, when death heard that sound of Jesus, they said, "Quickly, quickly, let Lazarus, come on, faster, on the devil. If we don't hurry up, he'll get everyone out." It's a good thing Jesus specified Lazarus, come out. If Jesus just said, come out, everybody would have been risen from the dead. Poor devil and the devil have no one. Jesus specified only one. Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus came out. You know, he was shocked to life. You heard of being shocked to death, he's shocked to life. Came out. And that's Jehovah Nissi. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's the embryomyomai, the authoritative aspect coming out from his inside. The Bible says it's in his spirit. Embryomyomai is in your spirit. When it works on your inside, you can declare it. There are some times and some situations in life, that aspect doesn't work in every situation. But there are some situations where it looks like your back behind you are the Egyptians, on your left and your right are the mountains, in front of you is the Red Sea. There is sometimes no other way except Jehovah Nissi. And Moses, instead of getting into an authoritative situation, he was pleading with God. And God said, "What is that in your hand?" See, Moses had to rise up to the occasion and said, "You shall see the salvation of God." As he raised up the rod, the sea was parted. And embryomyomai is God working through you. Remember what God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Every place where your foot shall tread shall be given to you. If Joshua refused to go there, it is not his. He has to place his foot there. God could put his foot there. But, I mean, this world would have been gone. I said, "Joshua, you put your foot there." And Joshua had such authority. God didn't tell him that, but the embryomyomai came into his life as he was fighting to get the land of Canaan. And when he saw, as he looked over at his sundial, the sun was coming down, and then he realized he needs more time to wipe these fellows out. And he said, "Sun, stand still." And the whole universe stood still. That's embryomyomai working. The Lord, your banner, Jehovah Nissi, It has to come into your spirit and be spoken with your mouth. Jehovah Nissi, I am the resurrection and the life. Now let's look to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jehovah Shalom. Is it? Where is it? If you notice the context of the verse in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now in chapter 14, he was dealing with stability of heart. And then he speaks about that relationship with God that must come about. Thomas asked him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way. Trust me. Don't be troubled. He is the foundation on whom there is no shaking. Look at the context. The revelation of I am the way, the truth and the life is in the context of them being confused. Where there is confusion, there is no peace. And Jesus said, I know the way, I know the truth, I know the life, and I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. Trust me. And he concludes that with verse 27, where he declares, peace I leave you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. Now the revelation of John 14 in verse 6 tells us that there are three levels of peace. The way, the truth, and the life. There is a peace that comes in our spirit when we are born again. That's Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But it's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, where he says, and the peace of God will garrison, which is a word meaning guard, your heart and your mind. Look, there are two other aspects of peace. There's peace in your heart and peace in your mind. Now the heart refers to both spirit and sometimes to aspects of our soul. We know, if you study the word heart through the concordance and through every word heart, you notice that it sometimes talk about the heart thinker, the heart feeling, the heart choosing, and the heart as a conscience. So the times the heart is revealed, and there's a spirit aspect emphasized. But there is peace that is given when we are born again. And then there's a peace that is different. There are two other levels of peace. A peace that garrison, that guards. We talk about peace as something meek and weak. But here it's talking about peace that is strong in Philippians 4 verse 7. A peace that guards your heart and your mind, and that the world did not give and the world cannot take away. And in that kind of state of inner peace in your being, you have a tremendous staying power. There can be storms all around you, yet you're stable as a rock. Different levels of peace. He talks about how to get it. Just as in the book of Philippians, when he talks about peace, he talks about successful praying. Say, do not be anxious. In everything, give thanks to God by prayer and supplication, giving of thanks to God. And the peace of God will get in your heart and your mind. And he relates that to prayer. And it's the Gospel of John 14 that he begins to move into prayer. That he begins to say, ask what you will, and it shall be given to you. See, when it's Jehovah Shalom, it is be still and know that I am God. Do you know that successful prayer starts with successful hearing? And successful hearing starts with successful stillness. When we are still and we hear God and we know what is the mind of God, all our prayers are answered. Whatever we pray comes from our hearing from God. Be still and know what the mind of God is. And knowing what God's mind is, we pray God's mind. We pray God's will in our lives and in the lives of others, and the prayers are always heard. But that's a realm that only peace can bring us into. Jehovah Shalom. Peace is a way. Peace is a knowing, a state of mind, a truth, an understanding. It's a life. Finally, in John 15, he brings a revelation of Jesus saying, I am the vine, I'm the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. I am the true vine. And that brings us to the final one, Jehovah Shammah, which tells us the Lord is with us. Now there is a progression in the Gospel of John. We walked through Jehovah Jireh. We went to Jehovah Sikeno and Jehovah Rapha. We went into Jehovah Ra'a. We went into Jehovah Nisi. We went into Jehovah Shalom. Now we are near the second wheel. We find Jehovah Shammah in John 15. And Jesus tells us how the Lord is with us. It was already beginning at Jehovah Shalom. There's a stillness there. Now the Lord is with us. John 15 verse 1. He talks about how He's going to be with us and in us. Jesus the vine. And in that revelation, there is what I call a threefold relationship of Shammah. How God is with us. It begins in John 14. John 14. And we'll take the text from verse 20 onwards. John 14, 20. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now that is an aspect of Jehovah Shammah coming out. John 14:20, you will know that I am in you, and I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jehovah Shammah, God with us. That's the first level of Shammah, the abiding presence. He abides in us and we abide in Him. How do we do that? John 15 tells us through the Word. Chapter 14 verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Shammah level 2. His manifested presence. The abiding presence, now you have the manifested presence. Where He demonstrates in an outward way the side effects of His presence. Number 3. When Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world? And then he moves to the third degree in verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now it's we will make our home with him. It is the third degree that I classify the transforming presence. He transforms you. God tabernacle with you. stronger than the abiding. Abiding is in the spiritual sense. Now it affects the natural. When you reach transforming presence, it affects the natural. The third level of Shama. John 14, 15, 16 reveals that. You see, there are prayers recorded in all three. Look at John 14, and the prayers are each time slightly different. In John 14, verse 13 and 14, it says, whatever